Bibles this morning. Turn to the book of 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6. I'm glad that you're here in the Lord's house this morning. There's a word from God that calls us to gather weekly on the Lord's Day to honor Him and recognize that He is Lord indeed. And also understand that He is empowering each of us as we fellowship together and to do those great things. What an encouragement it is to recognize that there are the other like-minded believers that want to grow in their faith and strength when it comes to serving God. So let me speak to you out of the book of 2 Kings. We've been in the Old Testament for some time now, the last probably 4 or 5 weeks, and had been talking about Elijah, but now we're on Elisha, who follows after his master Elijah, and God's going to use him to do mighty, mighty things, and I think we need to recognize how God wants to do that same thing in our life. And so we'll find some neat things today in God's Word. The Bible says this, 2 Kings chapter 6, "And the sons of the prophet said unto Elisha, Behold now, the place where we dwell with thee is too strait for us. Let us go, we pray thee, into Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make us a place there, where we may go and dwell. And he answered, Go ye. And one said, Be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go. So he went with them, and when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water. And he cried and said, Alas, master, for it was borrowed. And the man of God said, Where fell it? And he showed him the place, and he cut it down a stick, and cast it into the thither, and the iron did swim. Therefore, said he, Take it up to thee. And he put out his hand and took it." Father, we come before you to say thank you for your power and might. Thank you, Lord, for your love, mercy, and grace. Thank you, Lord, for all that you do for us on a daily basis. Help us to recognize that one of those things is empowering us to live for you, empowering us to make a difference in the world that we live in. So, Lord, this morning, help us to recognize that we need to pick up that power by your Spirit, that we need to have a sharp edge this morning, that we need to be a people that make an impact on this world. Help us to leave this place today on fire for you, ready to do your will, ready to do the things you've called us to do. Thank you, Lord, so much for that promise, that when your word is read, it'll not come back void. In the name of Jesus, I pray, amen. Well, I heard about a Mexican magician, and he said, I'm going to disappear on the count of three. Uno, dos, poof. And there was no trace of the magician. Well, you'll get that in a minute. Amen. He was gone just like that. I want you to recognize that God's man was cutting down wood with the power of an axe, and boom, just like that, the axe was gone. I want you to also recognize today that sometimes in our lives that God's power seems to be poof, gone. And we find ourselves flailing around, not doing what God desires for us to do. I want you to understand this morning that God has a word for us that we might not be powerless, but powerful in the power of God. So notice some things in this passage that really speak to us as we should be. First, there's the continued growth of the believers. The continued growth of the believers. When you read verse 1 again, it says, "And the sons of the prophet said, Elijah, behold, now the place where we dwell for thee is too strait for us." Now that word there, strait, is Tasara in the Hebrew there. It means constricted. It means enveloped. It means it was too small. They were in a small spot. God had grown them and grown them and grown them. And so now was the time for them to move forward. It was a time for them to simply do what God desires. God added to their number and was blessing them. By the way, God always desires to add to his kingdom. He always desires to add to his body. He always desires for his people to simply add to their number. Jesus said this in Matthew 28, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost." And so he says, make disciples. He calls the church to reach out. If you read Acts chapter 2, man, 3,000 got saved in one day. Acts chapter 4, 5,000. They followed the commands of Christ, and the church began to grow. I want you to recognize today at our church, in our place, we want to simply do what's right. We want to be faithful to grow the kingdom of God. We're not trying to get a big body of believers, but we're trying to be a rescue mission to share the gospel and save as many as possible by the Spirit of Christ. We want to simply live by the power of God. And if we do that, growth will just naturally come. And so they find themselves in a constricted spot. So there's a challenge to do something in verse 2. "Let us go, we pray thee, into Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make a place there where we may dwell." And he answered and said, "Go ye." Notice some action words. Let us go. Let us take. Let us make. Now, we got to be careful, because if we do this wrong, we will mess up. If we look at the world and the way they find success and try to emulate that, it will fail miserably. The world's way to get success is set a goal. Step number two, work hard to achieve that goal. Step three, do step two until till step one is accomplished. Now, let me remind you, that may be a good worldly goal, but our goal is different. Our goal is to do this, to listen to God, and when God speaks, simply obey. When God speaks, that is our goal to do. But I wonder how many times in the church today, if the goals we set really honor God. I'm afraid sometimes in the church today, the goals we set are more about keeping us comfortable than really lifting up the name of our Father above. I wonder today, will we simply recognize and do the things that God's called us to do? There's a great danger when it comes to ministry to take the easy way out. Well, some would say, well, will it be worth it because of the sacrifice and the hardships and the trials? The answer is yes. Can you imagine setting great goals by the power of God, doing those goals, and getting to heaven one day, and somebody come up to you and says, thank you so much for that Sunday school class. Thank you so much for doing these things. Thank you so much that the church had enough desire to love me. I'm telling you, when it comes to loving others, it is an action word that we must do. We must simply do ministry. I wonder today, will we pursue that ministry? Will we do those things that will grow the kingdom? You say, oh man, that's a hard thing to think about. Well, the good news is, you're not called to do it by yourself. You are not alone. How good it is to recognize that God will empower us, but also use us all as believers to get the word accomplished. I keep thinking about Elijah. Remember when he had that time, he called down fire, did great things, and the next moment, he's in the next chapter, in chapter 19, he's fearful, and he said, I'm left by myself. I'm only one around. And God says, you're not the only one. I've got 7,000 more people just like you. I want you to recognize today that even though there's some challenges and there's the problems there, but God has empowered us to be okay and do those things by His power and those around us. And so we find, moving from continued growth of the believers, but secondly, there's the community effort of the believers. So again, verse 2 says, let us go, we pray thee, into Jordan, and take thence every man a beam. Let us make a place there that we may dwell. And he answered, go ye. Well, the previous verse was about action words, but notice this. It's not about action words, but this personal pronoun or plural pronoun that says, let us, we pray, every man, let us make, that we may. Notice there was a thing about everybody. Every person was important. Everybody was important when it came to the work of God. Every person was important when it came to doing what God desires. Kind of a long reading, but 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the Apostle Paul writes about the church and its importance. He says in verse 14, for the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were a hearing, where would the smelling? But now God has set every member, every one of them in the body, as it has pleased Him. And if they were all one member, where would the body? But now we are the many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And to our uncomely parts, the more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to the part which lacks, that therefore there should be no schism in the body, but that members should have the same care one for another. Here's what he's saying, that everybody in the body of Christ has a purpose. Everybody is important when it comes to doing the ministry of God. And when one person doesn't do what they're called to do, the body simply suffers. When one person doesn't do what God has enabled him to do, then the body truly suffers. Have you ever hit your finger with a hammer? Shake your head this way. Some of you guys, I know you have. Man, doesn't it hurt? That little old bitty finger, man, how bad it hurts. I think what he's trying to say here, when we get out of God's will, when one person does not contribute as they do, as they should, there's a great pain in the body. So I wonder today, as we look at that, I wonder how we treat those around us, how we treat the body, how we treat those that are members. Sometimes we want to put on a pedestal the pastor or the deacons or the music pastor or all those, but that's not the case here. We should recognize that everybody is important. I love this story by Charles Plum. Charles Plum was a Vietnam Navy pilot. Flying through, he spent, I forget how many missions, 75, I think, before he finally got shot down in Vietnam, taken to prison there, sat 6 years in a Vietnam prison. Got out and began to tell a story about how he, what he learned from those times, what he learned from those trials. It was one day he was in this town, he was fixing to give a speech the next day, just eating breakfast, and a guy came up to him and says, "You're Charles Plum." He said, "I am." He said, "You were in Vietnam and you got shot down and spent six years in prison." He said, "I am." He said, "How do you know that?" He said, "I packed your parachute." Here's what Charles Plum said. He said, "I went home. I thought about that guy for days." He said, "I tried to imagine what he looked like in his sailor outfit. And he said, I wonder if I passed him many times in that ship and never said hi, never said hello, never thought about him because I was a pilot and he was a sailor." And he was in the guy in the bottom of the ship packing that parachute that saved my life. He goes on to speak about how we're all like that guy. And we all need to understand how important all of us are, that we should recognize the body has something important, that we need to be faithful. Well, notice if you keep on reading, every man also, not only were they important, but they had power. And verse 4 says, "So he went with them, and when he came to Jordan, they cut down wood." Now, I know you saw me bring this axe, and I know you were worried about going to sleep, and so God gave every man an axe, it seems like, that they took the axe. I don't know how many there were, but there was a bunch of them. And so every man had this axe. And so the axe represents power. This is what they used to go to work with. Man, they went down to that place. They began to chop down wood and chop down wood and chop down wood. How? Not with their hands or not with the end here, but with this blade right here. We need to understand that God has empowered us to do the same thing. Acts 1:8, "But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses to me both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria to the uttermost parts of the earth." Acts 6:8. We have an example here. "And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people." Can you see them taking the axe and cutting down those things? Can I tell you today that God's called us all to use our axe, to use our power He has given us. He has given us a task to do. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 says, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal." In other words, God has given you power that you may profit in the body of Christ, that you may be useful in the body of Christ. Secondly, He has given you a talent to accomplish that. And thirdly, He has given you a time frame in which to do it. In other words, God empowers you and gives you talent, but then He gives you a time frame to do it. You say, "Hang on now, preacher." Well, listen to this verse right here. Here's what Jesus said. John chapter 9, verse 4. "I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work." I'm telling you, God's called us to do something. And there's coming a day when we're not going to be able to do it. There's coming a day when time's going to rise. There's coming a day when we will either breathe our last or the Lord's going to come back. And think about all those people that should have heard the gospel but did not because of us. I wonder, will we take up the task? Will we recognize and understand that we are important to the work of the Lord? That we will understand our giftedness because of what God has done for us? And I wonder, will we use that gift? I wonder, if we're not, who can we blame? Well, first, I'll take some blame of it. Maybe I'm not equipping you as I should. Maybe I'm not lining you up as I should. Maybe I'm not doing as I should. But secondly, you got to blame yourself if you're not doing the Lord's work. I know you've heard the story about four people named everybody, somebody, anybody, nobody. There was an important job to be done at church, and everybody was sure that somebody would do it. Anybody could have done it, but nobody did it. Somebody got angry about that because it was everybody's job. I wonder today, are we doing God's will? Are we doing God's work? He has given us a work to do at this place. I wonder, will we simply do that? Well, here's the third thing. Not just this continued growth and community effort of the believers, but now there's the crisis of the believers. Verse 5 says, but as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water, and he cried and said, alas, master, for it was barred. He was doing something for the Lord. He was cutting down, he was working, but he lost his spiritual edge. As he was chopping wood, as he was getting with it, as he was busy, as he was simply being faithful, the axe head flies off. And let me just tell you, that's an important thing right here. You never see a guy cutting down wood without an axe head. You never see a guy taking another stick or a handle and beating on the trunk of a tree to cut it out. Why? Because this is the important thing. We need to recognize today that God has given us an edge. And yet, I think so many times in our life, we lose that edge and not being used by God. Now, how can you do that? Well, sometimes it's because of our sorrowness. We just simply don't maintain. Let me tell you a secret. The greatest thing you can do for your family is hone your edge. The greatest thing you can do for the church is hone the edge. The greatest thing you can do for your church is simply grow yourself spiritually. Do you have a sharp edge on your hatchet right here? Well, there's a failure to maintain many times, and we don't simply sharpen ourselves as we should. Somebody said, well, I just stay like I am. Let me remind you, kind of like my axe today, just kind of been left out in the weather a little bit, and what happens is it gets a little rusty, gets a little dull. But guess what? There's a way to sharpen our edge. See, God's given us a spiritual file. When you begin to sharpen, man, it takes the edge off. I'm telling you, and when you begin to sharpen things, it gets sharp. Somebody said, well, what should we do? How can we sharpen our edge? Well, it starts with that personal relationship with Christ. Without Christ, you don't have one of these. Now, you may think you do, but if you've never said yes to Jesus, if you've never let him save you, you don't have an axe head to start with. But if you do, here's how to sharpen it. One, let it start with prayer, that close personal communication. You say that all the time. Let me just tell you, you may not think as much, but hey, it only takes one or two little things to get the edge started. When's the last time you spent more than 10 minutes in prayer? When's the last time you humbly bowed? I'm not talking about the dinner table or some other place. I'm talking about you alone with God in prayer. You talking about sharpening the edge? How about this? It will keep on sharpening. If not, it will rust and decay. How about taking some time to read God's holy word? It's all, preacher, that ain't very much. Let me just tell you, this ain't very much. But every bit adds up. When's the last time you read your Bible and thought about what God's saying to you? You cannot know God's will without reading your Bible. How about those daily devotions? How about Sunday school? How about church? How about fellowship? It was the axe head that made this effective. I think today we're living in a spiritual crisis in America because there's a bunch of Christians that have lost their cutting edge. He didn't lose his salvation, but he lost his spiritual vigor. He lost his ability to work. So let me tell you what that looks like in the church today. Lost purpose. Man, I'm telling you, there are churches all across America today that have a lost purpose. Their purpose is to meet and greet when it should be to lift up the name of Jesus and call him Lord of all. We have lost our priorities. We major on the minors and minor on the majors. I'm reminded we're not here to please ourselves, but please the Father above. We've lost the passion for the Lord's house. We have this, I have to go to church, I ought to go to church, or is it I want to go to church? Again, the result is loss of effective power. We need the power of God today like never before. Philippians 4:13, I love that verse. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You could say empowers me, enables me. He is the one that gives us that sharp edge. We should focus on him. I wonder today, have you lost your edge? Many times you can see that in absentee attenders, and I know I'm talking to the choir this morning. I'm thankful that you're here. Maybe you can see it in those that called dirt dumpers are always talking negative. How about the pew pickers? I'm so glad today we got some people in the back because they're willing to give up a pew in here so they can be back there. You can have a place. Power players or way back when workers. What happens is they no longer have an axe head but an axe handle. You know, it's a big difference when you begin to look at this and you think, man, what happens if I lose my axe head? What happens if I lose the power? You end up getting this instead of this. You know what this is good for? It ain't good for much, amen? I know some of you good old redneck boys keep one in the back of your truck for special occasions. But that's what it's for. And we end up not using the power of God to do something constructive, but destructive. We end up trying to do things by our own power and might, and man, we make a mess. Hey, I've seen pastors with this right here trying to beat down a church by his own power. I've seen deacons trying to take control and beat down a church by their own power. I've seen family members, family owned and operated churches. They have one of these right here. I've seen sweet little old ladies. And amens. Carry one of these right here. What happens when we lose God's power and pick up our own power? The church is a mess. But there's good news. I'm telling you, my friends, there is good news. Because this man recognized real quick there was something that needed to be different. He recognized that this wasn't the right thing to do. He recognized that he was just swinging for nothing if the axe head doesn't belong there or is not there. So what are you swinging on today? Do you have an edge or not? Again, here's the good news. Here's the fourth and last thing. Not just the continued growth and the community effort and the crisis of the believer, but fourthly, there's the cause of recovery for the believer. Let me read verse 5 again. But as one was felling a beam, you see, he was being faithful. The axe head fell in the water, but notice this. And he cried and said, "Alas, master, for it was borrowed." And he cried. He recognized it was gone. He recognized the power had left. I wonder today, will we recognize that? You know, one of the greatest killers of a church today is pride. They focus on when we used to do things way back when. They focus on how it used to be. They focus on, but now they won't see themselves where they truly are. They won't understand, and so they fail to recognize pride is surely killing them. This man recognized its value. But notice also this. He ran to the one that can help. Again, verse 5, middle verse says, and said, "Alas, master." He ran to Elisha. Now you say, oh, did he run to the pastor? No, my friend. That Elisha was the picture of God's man in one sense. And we don't have Elisha today, but we have somebody so much better, the Lord Jesus. We have somebody that can empower us. We have one that can help us, one that can empower, one that can make things right. We have one, and his name is Jesus. But oh, my friends, we need to run to him. Notice verse 6. And the man of God said, "Where fell it?" And he showed him the place, and he cut down a stick and cast it thither, and the iron did swim. Where'd it fall in at? Have you lost your power today? Let me tell you, you need to recognize where you lost it at. Are you backslidden? You need to recognize how that started. Are you not where you're supposed to be at today spiritually? You need to recognize and see when that began to take place. Maybe it's when you took that job or started dating that person, when you started getting involved in this particular sin, when you did this thing and it pulled you away from where you needed to be at in God. I wonder today, will you recognize and confess and understand that? What sin has caused you to quit being effective for the cause of Christ? Notice what Elisha did. He cuts a stick. I don't know if it looked like a cross, but I don't know. But he throws it in there. And notice what happens. And the iron did swim. Can you see that happening? The man said, I borrowed this thing and there's no way to repay it. I need my axe head back. And so Elisha cuts down that stick, throws it in there. I don't know if the water started bubbling. I don't know. But I do know this, that this axe head, this iron axe head began to float to the top and move around by the power of God. You see, this man had no power to recover. He had no power to make it swim. He had no power, but God did. And notice what Elisha says to him. Verse 6, and the man of God said, where fell it? And he showed him the place, cut down a stick, cast it thither, and ironed it swim. Verse 7 says, therefore said he, take it up to thee. And he put his hand and took it. All he had to do was simply reach out and grab it. All he had to do was simply ease over there and pick it up. He didn't make the iron swim again, but the Lord's power did. Let me just tell you about salvation today. You may be here thinking, oh, I've messed up. Man, my life's been a mess. I'm telling you, by the power of God, he can restore that back again. By God's power, he can make the wrongs in your life right if you just reach out and grab a hold of it. He's brought it right to you. He's done everything. That stick in Elisha is nothing compared to the stick that Jesus hung on. He makes things right if you'll simply accept that. I can just imagine the celebration when he simply picked that up and said, man, I've gotten my power back. The Bible says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I want you to see today that God's here for us, that God wants to use us, that God wants to empower us, that God wants us to be faithful. But we cannot do God's will when we're simply living a life that totes this instead of this. I wonder today as we close out, What shows your life? I wonder, would you be honest with yourself that my life looks more like this or looks more like this? If it looks more like this today, don't be prideful. Repent of your sins. Turn from those things that pulled you down. Ask God to help you to recover that and then be faithful to maintain and sharpen and follow him. There is no telling what the church can do today when like-minded believers have an edge for God. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes just for a moment. Somebody wrote these song lyrics years ago. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, now safe am I. I'm telling you, my friends, God is all about recovering people. He's all about restoring their power. He's all about getting the church ready to be used by him. The question is, are we? Are we willing? Are we ready? Will we humble ourselves and be used by the power of God? Maybe for the first time today, God's calling you to repent of your sins and turn from your ways to his ways. Why not walk that aisle and say, Brother Paul, I need Jesus. For others of you, you're doing things, but it's not like you used to. Your axe head is dull and needs to be sharpened. Why not recommit today? Why not, maybe even right where you sit at, say, Lord Jesus, help me to be sharp for your use. Maybe it's church membership and God saying, this is the place that you need to be to be used by him. Maybe you want to come and pray for somebody. There's lots of needs this morning for that. Whatever it is, I wonder, will we be used by the Lord this morning. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus, that name above every name, the name that empowers us to do your will. So Lord, today I pray that you would give us a sense of conviction right where we are, that you let us have the eyes to see where we stand. Let us turn from our ways to your ways. Let us be useful in the things you've called us to do. Bless the day. Bless the invitation. Bless your word. In the name of Jesus, amen.